We greet you in the precious name of Jesus this morning. Welcome everyone that's here. We appreciate everyone that's here, and it's good to have visitors here with us. I would like to wish the grace and the peace of God on each one that's here, from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's always a sobering thought to think of, you know, maybe not everyone that's here this morning has peace, has that peace in their heart, or is experiencing the grace of God. I was so blessed with the opening meditation this morning and the challenge that it is, the challenge that we heard about, let brotherly love continue, something that we have in our heart and it's just continuing on, even a long time from now, once we're off the scene and no longer a part of it, you know, that love can still continue. And also last Sunday evening when Brother Steve had the topic in Colossians, I was so blessed with some of the thoughts that he shared on prayer. And I would just like to give testimony to what Brother Steve shared about prayer. The thought was that we don't just have to have a certain time of prayer, but we can pray continually, all the time. And I was just again thinking of that when to see Brother Albert back in church again. And I know there was a lot of prayers went up on behalf of Albert's. And before that, the time when Cynthia was in the hospital and the times that we just spent time in prayer and just seeking God, you know, God. And, you know, I my mind went back to something that happened to us. It's been about 44 some years ago. Soon after we were married, I had a boil on my elbow. And a boil, when it gets inside your skin, it turns to a carbuncle. And I had it in this elbow. And I had it for about 3 weeks. And the pain was so severe, so terrible. And it kept getting worse and worse. And there were times I would just walk around holding my elbow because any little movement just felt like it was going to tear apart. And I'd try to hold up above my head and just hold it. And one night when it seemed like there was just no way I can endure anymore, I was groaning in pain, and Carolyn got up and went out in the living room, and she prayed. And I think she was really sincere in her prayer. She came in the bedroom, and it was dark. I don't think we even had a yard light. We were remodeling the house and didn't have much electricity in the house, so it was dark. When she came in the bedroom, something followed her in there. There was some kind of bug came along in. It had lights on it. It came in and flew around the bedroom twice. A bright light. Just it wasn't a lightning bug, but it was stayed on all the time. It flew around a couple times and went out the door. And with that, the pain was completely gone. No more pain whatsoever. I didn't feel it after that. It was such a miracle. And I believe those miracles still happen today. Recently, I took a tractor apart to fix a shaft on the inside of the tractor, and I pulled it apart. And inside, on the bottom of the tractor, there was a cavity or an open place, and mice and rats and whatever carried a lot of stuff in there, and that was their home for I don't know how many mice. But anyway, it was full of trash. And while I was doing this work inside there, there was a shaft that I wanted to pull out that had a bearing on it. To replace this bearing, there was a little half-moon key on that thing. It was so little, it wasn't even, maybe about the fourth size of your thumbnail. And somehow in my carelessness, I dropped that key. I've never seen one that little before. I dropped it in that debris. Well, couldn't believe it. And so what do you do? I don't know where to find another one. It has to have the key to put it together. So I prayed. I said, God, please let me help me find this thing. I looked for it. I got all the trash out. I couldn't find it. I separated everything just piece by piece, trying to find this thing. Separated all of it. Couldn't find it. And finally, I just again closed my eyes and said, God, I would really like to have this thing. Would you please help me find this thing? And I had a big pile scattered everywhere. And right in front of me, there was a spot about this big that was clean. And debris everywhere else. I opened my eyes. I glanced down on that clean spot. And there was this thing laying right there in the clean spot. I didn't hear anybody come in the shop. I didn't see anybody. I don't know how I got there. I had all this trash, but right there it was in plain sight. That was a miracle to me. Now that's a little, maybe a little thing, but there's power in prayer. There's power in committing it to the Lord. Lord. And you know, and I know there are times when we pray for something. We pray and we pray, and nothing happens. Carolyn's had sores in her mouth for a long time. It keeps coming back. And we have prayed and prayed and prayed. Asked for help, asked for advice, asked doctors, different doctors, tried different things. It keeps coming back. So what is God telling us? We pray for someone to find Jesus. It doesn't happen. But I think along with our praying, we should always remember, not my will, but thine be done. We commit it to the Lord. And maybe he's asking us to wait, not now, or, you know, sometime. Power in prayer. I love that. And I desire your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God to find something that will encourage us to a walk with the Lord, a closer walk with the Lord. And I'd like to invite you to turn to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers 21. We'd like to read the first 9 verses here. But before we do that, I'd like to just remind us of some things that happened in the 20th chapter of Numbers. This was a terrible time, but the things that happened in chapter 20. In the first verse, we notice in chapter 20 that Miriam died. And then the congregation, they were murmuring, complaining. They chode with Moses and spake, saying, God, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And they were out of water. And God finally told Moses, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. Do you notice it says, speak ye unto the rock, and it shall give forth his water. We will know what happened. We know what happened when Moses got this instruction, but God told him what to do and how he responded. Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and how he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Now, because of this that happened, because Moses didn't obey, God told him that he wanted his name to be sanctified among the people, but he disobeyed, and because of that, they were not allowed to take the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. into the promised land. Now, in the same chapter also, we see that Aaron died. We see that God gave him instructions what to do about Aaron. He was a high priest, and he had, and if you go back and look at that account where he had a special kind of clothes made for him, some to, and it was interesting, it says that to point out or to reveal what he was, what his office was, but also to beautify him. But anyway, God said that it's time for Aaron to go the way of the world, the way of all the world. All of us are going to die. And Moses took his clothes off and gave it to Eleazar. And then he was going to be the high priest. And now we'll come to 21. And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Now, when you read all of that and what happened, you know, they had went, Moses had sent servants to Edom and asked, if we can go through your land, and we won't go through the gardens, or we won't go through the fields, we won't go through the vineyards, we'll go by the king's highway. We won't even drink of your water. We'll be very careful to not damage anything. And the king of Edom said, no, you can't go. Then he asked again. He said, no, you can't go. And he got a lot of men together, and they made that they couldn't go through this land, to the king's highway. So the children of Israel had to take a long detour. Is there anyone here today that likes detours? I'm glad that I don't have to go to Clarksville every day like some of you go, 2 and 3 times a day. Those lights by the bridges are aggravating, and you know the big trucks have to take detours. You know, I hate to travel somewhere and you have to take a detour. So we don't like detours. Now these people, they were asking certain people, may we go through here? It would be a shortcut. And they said, no, you can't go through here. So now the people are discouraged. Let's notice what happened. The soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Now, this light bread, wasn't that food? Wasn't there a time that they were glad for this manna? But now they're saying there is no bread. Then they admitted this light bread. You know, maybe they were thinking that was for the little children. We want something heavier than that. And they were discouraged. They were discouraged. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Can you imagine being out working or whatever you were doing, where you were living? I don't know if they came into the tents or where all these fiery serpents came. If they bit him, they died. Maybe it is somewhere else, but I don't know for sure how many people died. But if they got bitten, they died. Now, the other day, one of my sons was clearing some land out close to a road. His children were there with him. He was clearing some land, and pretty soon a truck stopped and backed up to him and said, hey, be careful. There's a great big old rattlesnake out here on the road. And I see your children out there playing. Be careful. So he went out there, and great big, he had like 10 or 11 rattles on its tail. So he took care of the rattlesnake. Yesterday he was back there, and there was a blue racer there. And he was laying there, and of course, you know how they hold their head up, and they're looking around, and any little thing that scares them, I mean, they can, I don't know how many of you have seen one, take off like everything. And the one of the children was going to take pictures of it, but before they could even get that far, it was gone. Well, these people, snakes, and if you get bit, you're going to die. Reminds me of this little boy that I know. He came in the house running to mama, and he was so excited and shook up. We saw a snake. What kind of snake was it? It was a water-headed copper moccasin. Well, I don't know what these poor people were enduring. Snakes. But let's notice what happened. They talked about God and about Moses. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. What happened here? The people saw that they had sinned. Isn't that something that's so valuable to us today? When we see we have a problem, we have sinned. We have spoken against God, against Moses. Moses, pray for us. Pray for us. And Moses prayed for them. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld a serpent of brass, he lived. Wouldn't that be nice? Now, all at once you have this pole, and I don't know how high it went up, but there was a brazen serpent, a serpent, on there. God told him to do that, to build this thing. And if you look at it, if you just look at it. Now, I was trying to imagine all these thousands and thousands of people, how far they were scattered. I don't know how high this pole was or how far you could see it. You know, could you see it out to the road or how, you know, how far you had to be, close you had to be to see it. But if you were bitten and saw it, you didn't have to die. You didn't die from that snake bite. Amazing. A brazen serpent. God told him to make it. Do you remember what happened later in life with this brazen serpent? That thing was to save them from dying. Later in 2 Kings, we read about something that happened when Hezekiah was king. Let's turn to that. 2 Kings 18. The first four verses. First five verses. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abiah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan, He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. Now, I'm not sure. I'm not a school teacher. I've substituted already, but maybe I'm not saying it right. According to the way I look at it, it says Nehushtan. A piece of brass is what it means. They offered incense, burned incense to it. Now that was strictly forbidden. This very thing that saved them from dying if they were bitten earlier, now it's an idol to them. This brazen serpent is an idol to them. They're using it for an idol. Wow. Is that the end of the story about a brazen serpent? It's not. It's not. The greatest story ever given to man, our greatest need, we'll see about this brazen serpent. Let's turn to John chapter 3. Start in verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that amazing? He's using this as an illustration of Jesus must be lifted up. Lifted up on the cross. And if we believe, if we see Jesus, if we believe Jesus, we can be saved. That's amazing. That story should never, never should we lose the wonder of it all. Jesus, our Redeemer, our Savior. And referring to this piece of brass, this piece of brass, Nehushtan. Referring to that Jesus now lifted up on the cross, we can be saved. Be saved when we look to Jesus. Now, maybe it's possible that we can have an idol, Nehushtan, in our life. We're not ready. We don't want to do it now. Maybe at a later date. Maybe sometime down the road. But not now. I'm not ready. I don't want to look to Jesus now. I knew this young man. He was a handsome young man. He was about 18 or 19. He had a lot of potential. David Allen, people talked to him, said, David, you need the Lord. You need to repent. You need to give your heart to the Lord. You're getting older. What are you waiting on? He was carousing around, he was drinking, and he was having a good time. And he said, not now, I don't want to, I'm not ready for that now. 2 more weeks, then I'll change. 2 more weeks. I want to do what I want to do, then I'll change. Before those 2 weeks were up, he wrapped his car around a tree. He was drunk. He died. He didn't have another chance. He died like that. He was about 18 or 19. One evening, about 44 years ago, we were eating supper. We got a call. Can you quick come to help us? Our son is in the pond and he can't get out. Can you please come? They knew we could swim. Can you please come and help us? That son was one of my Sunday school students. He was a dear young man to me. We raced over there as quick as we could. And what happened? His older brother, his oldest brother, got out into the pond. They just built a new pond. He got out too far and he needed help. And he was crying, "I need help, I need help, I need help." This young man, I think he was 12 or 13, he tried to go out there to help him. He helped him. His older brother got back to shallow water, but he couldn't make it back. When we got there, the neighbor man, we often swam together in places. He was there. He got him out. It was too late. He died. He didn't have another chance. That daddy, that neighbor man that got him out, just a while before that, his young son of about 10 or 11 had a brain tumor and died. They were young. They were young. They died. So you may not get another chance to look at Jesus hanging there on the cross. You may not get another chance. We don't know. We don't know when our time is here. We don't know. But do we have that peace in our heart today? Are we looking to the cross? Do we see Jesus? Do we feel him in our heart? He has taken my sins away. I'm washed in the blood. I have peace in my heart. I have joy in my heart. Yes, there are detours in life. We all face them. We all face things that are a challenge to go through. But let's go on here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Brethren, this morning I would like to ask us, has there ever been a time in your life that you feel condemned? You feel condemned, you feel guilty, you need help. Something's wrong. I feel condemned. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What a blessing. He gave. He gave his Son. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Light and darkness. Light and darkness, so opposite, cometh to the light instead of darkness. Why do we light? Why, when we feel that condemnation, when we feel condemned and guilty and horrible, we don't have peace. Darkness, we hide things. We try to hide it so people can't see it. But we can't hide from God. God can see. God can see it. Matthew 24. Starting in verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now we were talking about Moses. We were talking about Aaron. Here we're talking about Noah. And it refers to Noah. And we know what happened. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. When that door was shut, the flood came. They didn't know when it was going to happen. so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now we notice the angels don't even know when he's going to come, but my Father only. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, he shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Watch, be ready, be alert, be awake. Now, we just had this in our Sunday school lesson recently, in Acts 1, when Jesus left, the ascension of Jesus. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. I believe this morning that Jesus is coming again. We don't know when. But Jesus is warning us again and again in Scripture to be ready, to be watching. Jesus is coming again. Maybe we think we have plenty of time. We'll do it some other time. I'm glad this morning that I can turn to Scripture. And if I understand it right, that it's possible that we can look to the cross, we can see Jesus, we can see our need. We have sinned. Like the children of Israel, when they came to Moses, we have sinned. Pray for us. They saw their need. We can repent of that. The sins that we have committed can go on before us and can be taken care of. Or we can wait. What a chance. It's terrible, terrible, terrible to wait. We understand Scripture that in Romans 14, starting in verse 8, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. We're not our own. We don't belong to ourselves. We are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died, both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. As it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Whether we want to bow our knee to our precious Savior today or not, someday we will. Someday we will confess with our tongue. We will confess to God. In 2 Corinthians 5, through 11, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Now, recently, I prayed to God, and I often think about this verse, these verses. But sometimes I'm hesitant to pray this prayer, and I don't know how you feel about it. How many of you like to pray Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That takes courage for me to pray that. Search me, O Lord. I want to. I want him to reveal it. But what if he points to something? What if there's something hidden in there? Maybe some jealousy or some unforgiveness. And I'm struggling with it. Maybe there's something there. Go easy on me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Oh, try me. Please, no, make it easy, God. Try me. And know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Maybe there's something in my life. It's a brazen serpent. It's an idol. It's something I can't let go of. And I like it better than I like anything else. God, I want to be clear and honest before you. I want to be ready. I want to be watching for your return. I want to be what you want me to be. In closing, I'd like to read 2 Peter chapter 3. Of Christ's coming to judgment, warnings against scoffers. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. I remember my grandpa told me that he remembers a time back in the 50s that his neighbors, some of his friends, neighbors, they didn't get their equipment out of their sheds that year to farm. They said, the Lord's coming this year. There's no need to farm. Here we see that there will be scoffers. I mean, we have plenty of time. He's not coming today. He's not coming tomorrow. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The message this morning, my burden for this message is, Jesus is coming again. And maybe there's someone here. You haven't looked to Jesus on the cross. You don't know what it is to see Jesus and to experience everlasting life in your heart. But you may have some idols that you don't want to get rid of. Nehushtan. There's no value in that. But we need to look to Jesus. We need to look to Jesus. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you that you so love the world that you gave your only Son Jesus, that through him, if we believe and repent, that we can be your sons and daughters. Help us, Lord, to realize that we don't have to live in condemnation. We don't have to have fear in our heart. But, Lord, we can be ready to meet you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. And, Father, we pray for each one that's here today. Lord, that you would bless each one, that you would fill each one with your goodness and your mercy, and that you would help us, Lord, as we leave from here, this place, Lord, that we can be faithful in reaching out and to share the good news. Father, we want you to receive all the honor and the glory. And Father, we ask that you would just continue to search our lives and our heart. Lord, are we ready to meet you? Guide us for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.